How many of you heard the term heart murmur? Okay. Some may have even been diagnosed with a heart murmur. But we're going to find out some spiritual parallels with that term. God started speaking to me about this on March 1st. What's today's date? Well, that's how long it's been marinating. Okay. So we're at John 3:16. Let's read 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I don't know if you remember when we were talking about momentum, this is under that same umbrella or same series. And we found out that there's some characteristics of momentum. It's single-minded. It's unwavering in its pursuit of a goal. Okay, it has passion which knows no limits. It demands concentrated intensity, and it has boundless vision. All those are characteristics of momentum. And every single characteristic must be present, or your momentum will just stop. It'll just stop. Say, why is that important? Well, you know, it doesn't require as much momentum to push a small car on an even surface than it does to push that same small car up a steep hill. Okay, you have to have momentum to get going. I mean, if you watch boxing matches, they don't just stand there and go like this. Okay, no, they wind up and they put their whole body into the punch that they throw because they need that momentum. See, it's not the punch that hurts, it's the momentum behind it that hurts, okay? So we have to understand that there can't be anything else on our mind. Because if there is, you're no longer single-minded. And if you're no longer single-minded, you've just lost some momentum. And the things that God has for us, we have to have momentum. But I said that there's a major momentum builder. Everybody has been guilty of it at one point in time, or to a degree may still be guilty of it. And we're going to expose it and correct it today. Remember, God said you're leaving here complete. Turn to Proverbs 4, please. And when you get there, let me know, because I want us to read together verse 23. And then I'm going to share it in several translations. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. So we're going to talk about it a lot. Okay. Are you there?
Yes.
Let's read it. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What does it tell us to do? How? Why? Okay, do we understand that? Well, let's read on and see. Okay. The Amplified Bible says, keep and guard your heart with all diligence and above all that you guard. For out of it flows the springs of life. God's Word translation says, guard your heart above all else. Above all else, guard your heart. For it determines the course of your life. How many of you knew that? Okay. The complete Jewish Bible. Above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. Right. Now I'm going to ask them to put the expanded Bible version up on the screen, because we're going to take a few moments with this one. Okay? Let's read it. Be careful what you think. Above all that you guard, protect your heart, because your thoughts run your life. Life flows from it. We're going to leave that up there for a few moments because let me tell you something. See, the expanded Bible, what it does, when you see those things that are in brackets, okay, what that does is that gives you another way of saying the same thing. You know, it kind of expands it. And it causes you to think about things differently. Sometimes we read a scripture and we treat it one-dimensional. But there are other things that can be that scripture is saying, and the expanded Bible, it kind of brings it out. Okay? See, the brackets give us another way of looking at it. So let's look at what's just in the brackets. Okay? If we take the text out of what's in the brackets, you get, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. That's telling us how important it is to control our thoughts. And that's backed up with 2 Corinthians 10. Would you turn there? Let's leave this up, guys. But let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. All right, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. All right. The Phillips translation of 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, our battle is to bring down every deceptive fantasy and every imposing defense that men erect against the true knowledge of God. We even fight to capture every thought until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. We have a responsibility to keep going at it until our thoughts say, I now recognize that Jesus is the Christ. Okay? The problem is we stop before we get to that point, causes a heart murmur. All right? The Message Bible, listen to this one. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Every single emotion that we have, every impulse should fit into our life structure that Christ has shaped. If it doesn't, we need to let it go. And too many of us have been hurt emotionally because we've been trying to make something fit that wasn't part of our structure in Christ. And so we were hurt, deceived, disenchanted, and all those other adjectives. But the bottom line is, it had your momentum come to a screeching stop and did some things concerning your attitude. We look back at the screen at what's in brackets. It says, above all that you guard, protect your heart. Life flows from it. Now, why do you guard something, anything? Okay, you value it. Okay, that's good. Are there some things that have more value than others? So there's some things you would guard better than you, okay. Well, whatever it is that you consider most valuable, the most valuable thing that you can think of that you have to guard, God is saying, guard your heart even more. But here's what we miss. I even missed it. It doesn't just say guard. It also says protect. It says above all that you guard, you can take it down, guys. Above all that you guard, protect your heart. Protect it. Now, you can use guard and protect in the same context, but they can also mean two very different things. My wife is very precious to me, and I'm going to guard her. But if something comes, I'm going to protect her. Okay? I mean, that I'm going to step up from guarding into protection. Okay? Guarding will give you want, just stay away, stay back. Protection will kill you graveyard dead. Okay. As Brother Copeland always says. And God is telling us concerning our hearts, above all that we guard, protect your heart. Why? Because we allow things to get into our heart that don't fit the structure that Christ made for you. And it changes our entire outlook about everything. And we don't know why. We start getting mad at the pastors and mad at God and mad at everybody else. And we really don't understand why. We start getting frustrated about everything. We walk around feeling inferior and we're trying to figure out what's going on. You didn't protect your heart. And you let something get in it that caused you to have all of these different feelings. It caused a heart murmur. Okay? And I'm gonna tell you something. I'm not a cardiologist. Okay? Never been. I've been to cardiologists. Okay? But I'm not a cardiologist. But in the center of our chest, everybody has this vital organ called a heart. Okay? And let me show you this. Try and give you a brief parallel. It makes sense to me. I trust it'll make sense to you. There's a certain sound that your heart is supposed to make. And how does a doctor know what sound your heart is making? Yeah. He listens to your heart through a stethoscope, okay? And if he doesn't, and he's expecting to hear a certain sound. Once you've received Jesus Christ as Savior, there should be a certain sound. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That comes out of you. Yes, sir. There's this expectation that your heart is functioning like it should as a believer. Yes. Talking about your spiritual heart. Yes. Well, just like the doctor will put a stethoscope to your natural heart and hear a sound that's abnormal, that should not be there, we could sit down and talk to a believer and locate them like that. What? From the sound that's coming out of their mouth. And sometimes the diagnosis is you have a spiritual heart murmur because you're making sounds that are not supposed to come out of a believer. But listen to this. Listen to this. And this is the problem. According to the Mayo Clinic, most heart murmurs are harmless. According to the Mayo Clinic. Okay. They call it, they're innocent. They say they don't need treatment. But then again, in the same article, it says some heart murmurs may require follow-up tests. So they're not all harmless. Because if they could require a follow-up test, how do you know? You don't, unless you go and do a self-check. And you try and ask it, how come I'm saying this? Where is this thought coming from? You start finding yourself murmuring about things, you need to ask yourself why. You find yourself as we learned from Pastor Jesse, you find yourself feeling some kind of way. You need to ask why. That was critical to me when I went boasting to Pastor Sarah about how I was controlling my anger. She said, you need to go back and ask why you get angry like that in the first place. Because controlled anger is not, any type of anger is not harmless. It can turn into something else. And just like that heart murmur, what they call, see, another article refers to it as a functional murmur. And that's the way too many of us are spiritually. We have some things going on that shouldn't be there, but we can still function, so we don't deal with them. and we keep making these unusual sounds, we keep finding ourselves stuck in these tough places, we still find it hard to get along with people, and we're doing what I did once. We saw, as a matter of fact, the last known writings of Pastor Clinton bear it out. The curse of this age is the refusal for one to accept their own actions, to take responsibility for their own actions, and worse, blame others. So rather than us looking and saying, there's something not quite right with me spiritually, we'll blame someone else. It's got to be them, because after all, I'm perfect. There's nothing wrong with me, okay? But these innocent, here's the thing, these so-called innocent murmurs are caused by physiological conditions that take place outside of the heart. There's stuff going on outside of the heart that you don't do something about, that it starts to affect your heart. There's things going on the peripheral in your life. There's turbulence, because really a heart murmur, they say it's a turbulent flow of blood across your heart valves. And the key word is turbulent. You have no peace in your life. You have turbulence for whatever reason. And you've been functioning with it, and it has taken a toll. And now you have a spiritual murmur. And you start opening your mouth about things. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And we found out that our thoughts control our life. Because we start speaking things that we really believe in this heart that's now imperfect. Because I've allowed something to get into it that doesn't belong there. And it's affected me. And it's changed my actions. It's changed my thinking. Wikipedia says murmurs can become the cause of serious conditions, even if it doesn't start out that way. Doctor, oh, your heart is fine. It's strong. You got a 1/6 murmur. It's okay. Well, things can escalate. And you don't know when it's happening. Why? Because we haven't taken the time to nurture the relationship where the Holy Ghost is saying, you need to look out for this. You need to stay away from that. This doesn't fit in my plans for your life. I mean, we quote the song, we sing the song, we quote the scriptures, you know, that he knows the plans that he has for us. And it's true, he knows. And often he's let us in on it. He's told us some of them. But what happens? It goes contrary to what we want. Turbulence starts flowing. Obedience starts arising. Why? I don't want to do this. God, I'll do whatever you, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Just don't ask me to do this. I mean, that's what it is. God, I love all your people. Send me where you want to go. I'll talk to anyone. Ooh, no, not that one, Lord. Not that neighborhood. You know what they say happens over there. And God is like, well, that's why I'm trying to send them my best. You. But we have this murmur, and we haven't done anything about it. See, so the question we have to ask, how did it get in there in the first place? And we already know the answer. It's in Proverbs 4:23. We did not protect, we did not guard and then protect our hearts. And so our life is a mess because our hearts are not steady. The sound that should be coming from them is abnormal. So our Christian walk is abnormal. The way we're thinking is abnormal. Our emotional state is abnormal. Why? We allowed something in our heart that doesn't belong there. And we need to be willing to do something about it, to get it out, so that we can move on with our life structured in Christ. It has to be structured in Christ. See, we convinced ourselves, just like they say, these are harmless murmurs. They're functional. So we've convinced ourselves that it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Yeah, I know I'm prompted to go to Friday prayer, but it's no big deal. I can pray home. Prayer works from a distance. Yeah, no, I haven't spoken to my sister in 5 years. Why? Well, after what she did, I'm just going to love her from a distance. No, there's something wrong with that. That's abnormal. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because God said forgive as quickly and completely as the Father, for Christ's sake, forgave you. God doesn't love us from a distance, and if anybody has a right to, it's him. Okay. As a matter of fact, he did everything he could to close the gap. Are we doing the same thing? I mean, seeing that we're made in his image and his likeness, it seems to me that what he does, we should do. I mean, it just makes sense to me. How many of you expect your children to do the things that you do? Right. No, I heard those thoughts. Be careful what you think. We can't choose to ignore the abnormal sounds that we make. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Above all that you guard, protect your heart. Life flows from it. Now, let's think about that. Life flows from our heart. So if our heart is normal, what type of life will we have? If our heart is abnormal, and if our heart stops, okay. That's why he said, above all that you guard, protect your heart. Protect it. Let me tell you something. When Jesus went into Gethsemane, he went in there with a heart murmur. Saying, where does it say that? It doesn't. I'm just showing you something here, giving you a parallel. And the reason I'm basing it, why would I have to pray, if you be willing, take this away, if it's something I wanted to do? Before we got married, Deacon Phyllis and I wasn't in Hagen Hall on my knees saying, Father, if you would, please let this cup pass over me. Okay? No. I'm like, come on, let the time... Oh, man, it's only 2:45. The wedding starts at 3 o'clock. Come on, let's go. Let's go. I want to get this thing on. Okay? I was excited about it. I wanted it to happen. So it's safe. I feel it's safe to assume that Jesus had an issue in the natural with being crucified. And that makes perfect sense to me. Okay? I mean, I'm not going to hit. You know what? For people who 1 minute they said, Hosanna, and the next minute they said, crucify you, the folks that spit on you as you being beaten along the path, yeah, no, I have no problem going to the cross, letting them put these spikes through my hands and my feet, smash a crown on my head, go to hell. You know, I mean, that's, no, I want to say that to them. I don't want to do it. So Jesus, thinking about that, his body is like, you don't want to do this. But he was convinced that he was supposed to live a life that was structured by God. And he had to make sure that this abnormal sense that was in him, these abnormal feelings, he had to do something about it. So he went to the garden and he prayed, "Father, if you be willing," he was honest, "if you be willing, remove this from me. But if not, it's your will, not mine. Even though I don't really feel like this is what I want to do, since this is what you want me to do, I'm going to do it." And it didn't happen the first time. It didn't happen the second time. He had to do that three times. And Luke, I believe it's Luke's translation, says his sweat was as great drops of blood. That's how much agony he was in. That lets us know no matter what you're going through, you still can take your time and get your mind centered and talk to your Father, letting him know that your intention is to do his will and you just need his help to get you to go through it. You don't talk to him trying to get out of it. You talk to him trying to do it and to do it the way he wants.
Yes, sir.
But your heart has to be right.
All right. Amen.
Jesus recognized there's something about me that's not quite ready to go to the cross. It's abnormal. I have to do something about it. He didn't look at it as being harmless, and neither should we. It's very dangerous for a believer to say, "I'll never do that," unless you're talking about sin. Because if it's not about sin, then you should be willing to do whatever.
Amen.
Whatever God asks you to do. But your heart has to be right.
Well.
There cannot be any murmurs. Look at this principle in Acts 5. Certain man, Ananias, married to a wife, Sapphira. Now, I don't know why he chose to lie, because at that time, all of the Christians were making sure that everybody had what everybody needed. So if there was a need, someone had some property, they'd sell the property, give it to the apostles, and they distribute it as needed. Oh, what a concept. Believers actually looking out for one another. Okay. Right. And people, it was not uncommon for people to just sell what they have. And Ananias and Sapphira said they did that. They had some property, they sold it, and they brought it and they laid it down. But by the Holy Ghost, Peter knew that this is not what they got for what they sold. They held some back. And Peter said, in verse 3, Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land?" Now, Ananias may have had a good reason. He may have started out with every intention of giving all of the money from the sale to the apostles. Maybe a piece of his equipment broke down and he panicked, trying to figure out, how am I going to make it now? See, today we call that only given partial tithe, because got a car repair or a heater broke down or something else happened, but we just put it in like this is our regular tithe. Nobody will know. Maybe he was feeling peer pressure because all of his friends were selling things and bringing in the money, so he figured he'd do the same thing. He didn't have to, because it was totally by choice. The apostles didn't go around and say, "Let's see, you could sell this and this, and you don't really need to. Yeah, you can get a cheaper one. You could sell this." No. It was whatever you felt to do in your heart, you sold and you brought it. So who had control? You did. But he allowed circumstances outside of his heart And since the Bible is clear as to why Satan filled your heart, he allowed some demonic activity taking place outside his heart to get into his heart because he didn't stop it. See, these things don't just come and take over and you don't know it. We know it. So please, if you ever find yourself in a meeting with me and Pastor Ed, please don't tell me I didn't know. I won't say it, but I'll hold up a sign, liar, liar, pants on fire. Because we know. How can I say that? Because Jesus said he was going to send the Comforter, and one of the jobs of the Comforter is to guide us into all truth. So the Comforter is going to make sure that we know what we need to know. Now, whether we decide to listen is something different. We can choose, just like some of you have gone to the doctor and the doctor's given you a diagnosis, and rather than check with God as to how you're supposed to handle it, you just dismiss it and act like it's not even there. Well, we may be doing a homegoing for you. Why do you say that, Pastor? We're faith people. We're also led by the Holy Ghost people. And being a faith person means you believe God told you to just confess this scripture and he'd take care of it, or God told you to go over here and see this doctor and get this procedure and it'll take care of it. Either way, it requires faith. Because if you think, I believe, taking a little pill is going to cure anything that happens to me, you must be high. Okay? Yeah, I'm going to take that little pill if God says to me, take this. I say, okay. If he says, don't take it, guess what? You can't force it down my throat. I don't care what anybody says. If God says, don't do it, don't take it, I ain't taking it. If he says, take it, I'm taking it. It's just that simple. Why? He knows the plans he has for me. He knows all of my thoughts and actions and intents. So he knows if I'm going to do what's naturally, he knows if I'm going to do the things that need to be done or not. And he's going to advise me accordingly. I have to make sure that my heart is right so that I'll do what he tells me. See, Ananias may have been embarrassed because he felt he couldn't give. Whatever the reason, he allowed Satan to fill his heart. And as a result of that, he lied to the Holy Ghost, caused his heart to stop beating. Well, a thief comes but for the steal, kill, and. So once he takes your heart, after he makes you look like a fool, then he wants to kill you. It's just that simple. We need to understand that and stop looking at these thoughts, and we're going to talk about some of them, looking at some of these things that have happened to us. While they may have been tragic things, it is not harmless to keep them. It's more dangerous to hold on to them than it was when you went through them. Because holding on to them, you become a victim every time that thought pops up and affects your thought process. Every time that thought comes up and causes you to do something apart from what God does, it's violated you again. How many times are we going to allow that to happen before we say, enough? Today, that's when. See, I've been referring to them as murmurs just to give you a parallel, but really what we really call them is murmuring and complaining. That's what it's really called. We murmur and complain because God wants us to do something that we just don't want to do. I mean, that's what it boils down to. We have unresolved issues that have caused turbulence because they're unresolved. We have to get them resolved. Once and for all, we have to get it resolved. Yes, some of you have been hurt by someone who you loved or who you thought loved you. Yes. Some were violated. Yes, someone treated you wrong. Yes, at one point racism was restrictive. Yes, all those things happen. Why are we still holding on to them and using them as an excuse not to move on? Why do we want to keep the murmur? So what? You had a child out of wedlock. Big deal. You think God keeps everything? He says, ooh, look what they did. You repented, he forgave you, case closed, done, finished. Move on with your life. Say, oh no, but you don't understand. You know, I didn't just have one. I had two. Okay. Would you feel better if I hit you with a baseball bat? So you had two. What'd you learn? What have you found out? Do you understand what has been going on with you? Have you gotten that settled? Been to school? Hey, I had an incident. I had a dream. I was acting in the dream. Scraped all the skin off the front of my head going into the wall. Guess what? Scars go away. Now, I don't keep flipping out. Every time it's bedtime, it's like, I'm going to have a dream again. No. Because, see, every time I do that, I might as well take a razor and cut open my head again. It's like, no, it happened. God told me how to take care of it. I'm doing what he told me. It has not happened again, and it will not happen again. And the wounds heal. They heal. Lesson learned. I don't have to keep doing it. You don't have to keep bashing your head into a wall because of a memory. Some of you are just stuck on traditions. You're just stuck. This is the way it's always been. You're not the way you've always been. You want proof? How old are you now? Okay. Did you come out of your mother's womb this age? Okay. So that whole argument, this is the way it's always, I've always done it this way. No, you haven't. You used to crawl around. There was a time when you didn't know how to drive an automobile. There was a time you couldn't write your name. You can do those things now. There was a time you couldn't sit in this circle sanctuary because it wasn't here. No one left and said, I never sat in this circle sanctuary before. I can't go to that place. No. You're saying that sounds ridiculous. It does, because it is. That's why some of you talk the way you talk. You've had this thing affect your heart. That's one of the things that has separated generations here in the church. Pastors don't care about the youth. Pastors don't care about the young adults. Pastor don't care about this. Pastor don't care about that. Pastor don't. Yes, pastors do. Very much so, more than you think. I mean, I had a conversation yesterday about something, and they said to me, well, you need to understand, people see you differently now because you're a pastor, and I didn't understand it. To me, if we always had a relationship and you were always able to talk to me, it didn't change just because now pastor is in front of my name. My ears didn't change. My heart for you didn't change. My compassion for you didn't change. Yeah, it's a little takes a little bit more to see me one-on-one now just because of the responsibilities that we have. So when I think about it, that's really the only thing. We're not as available as I was before I was Pastor Carr. When I was a youth director, I was always available for the young people. Why? I was the youth director. That was my job. Okay. I always had, I don't care what happened, that was the priority. Well, now I have a different set of priorities, but it's just more inclusive, not exclusive. Doesn't exclude anyone. Neither does Pastor Sarah, neither does Pastor Ed. We love all of you equally. We don't like the middle aged more than we like the young, or less than we like. Hey, every single one of us is Jesus, unless Jesus tarries, every single one of us is going to become a seasoned citizen. I mean, I figure one of the things I used to tell the young people when I was a youth director, I told them, look, because they used to say to me, why are you so compassionate about this? I said, listen, first of all, it's an assignment that God gave me. Secondly, I just naturally care about you. I said, but thirdly, I start thinking about this. I said, when I become a senior citizen, you'll be the dominant ruling class on this planet. So if I haven't done my job and given you some godly principles, I could be in a lot of trouble. Okay. We need to think about that. You don't have time to sit down and share wisdom with young people. What's going to happen when they're the decision makers? And they're going to make choices that affect you now. When all you could have done is just sit down and had a chat when they were 12. Deacon Phyllis and I took Vicki and her friends to Great Adventure for their graduation, because they wanted to go. And when I say took them, we drove the vehicle that they paid for, because none of them had a driver's license. And if any of them had a driver's license, none of them had a car big enough for all of them to fit into. So they pooled their money and rented a van. And we drove. We didn't charge them to drive, but we drove them. We didn't chaperone them. We drove for them. And because it was their car, we listened to their music, there and back. It was their hire, okay? Well, that was over 20 years ago. Vicki had forgotten. She ran to one of her friends who remembered. So remember that time your parents drove us to Great Adventure? That was so cool. 20 years later, I'm trying to figure out what would happen if we said, no, we're not going to do it. Just little simple things. Why? Our hearts were right. That's all you have to, your heart just needs to be right. Stop putting on, we come here and we put on a good front and we say all the right things, and inside we have a serious heart condition and we won't let anyone know. And we keep going around in circles. We really want to do what God wants us to do, but we can't get this thing that's in our heart. We can't seem to make it stop. And we keep going and going and going and going. Do you really believe? Think about this. I had to laugh, you know, when God told me this morning. He said, do you really believe that he loves you? Do you? Do you really believe it? Yes. I'm not setting you up, okay? I'm asking, because some of you are like, yes. Okay. No, do you really believe that God genuinely loves you the way he says he does?
Yes.
So why would he send you to a church that wouldn't care about you? The God that loves you said, I will give you pastors after my heart. Why would he send you to a place that has pastors that are not after his heart for you? Why would he do that? Would he do that?
No.
So if we remember that, when those turbulent thoughts come that they don't care about us here, you start laughing in the devil's face, because you have God's word already that he cares. And he cared so much for you that he sent you here deliberately. Why? Because he knew what you needed to get your life structured into the shape he has for it, you would get here and not there. And that's why he sent Pastor Clinton and Sarah Utterbach. That's why they developed us the way they developed us, because it was God's heart.
Amen.
We're moving. You know, there's a different move that's going on now. That's God's heart. So why the change? Because people have changed. And he wants us to change with them. Trends have changed. And so he wants us to acknowledge the trend and keep it spiritual. So yeah, you move with the trend. So you present it a little differently. It's still the truth. It's not watered down. It's just presented in a manner that's acceptable to the people that you have to deal with today. It's not a 30 years ago gospel. It's a now. The gospel was always designed to be now, right now. So we'll use some more modern translations sometime. Why? People don't speak 16th century Elizabethan English. I mean, I didn't. Seest thou if not if, what if thou sayest, I don't understand if. Okay. All right. Okay. Think about this, okay? God told me, I was up very early. God said, take a rest. I took a rest. Next thing I knew, it was 8:30 in the evening. Now I'm up. So I went to bed about 4, and I'm lying down, and my head is still going. I'm still hearing. So I got back up and just started recording what he was saying. And I said, no, I'm not tired. I'm wired and raring to go. But God said, some have cried out as early as this morning, God, I don't know how long I can keep this up. God, I'm tired of this. When will it end? He said, in a few moments. In a few moments, it's going to end. See, when the Israelites were being threatened by Goliath for 40 days, David heard it, and he said something. In 1 Samuel 17, 32, he said, let no man's heart fail because of him. God said, he doesn't want your heart to fail because of anything that you've gone through, because of anything that you've presented with. He doesn't want your heart to fail. David said, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. We have a more sure word. Our Savior said, thanks be to God who always causes you to triumph in Christ. So you don't have to let your heart fail because you're faced with anything. You already have the victory. That's all. You just need to do what Jesus said. Father, even though my flesh is feeling these things, I'm going with your plan. And even when the enemy turns up the intensity, you pray all the more. Just like blind Bartimaeus. He's like, hey, Jesus, Jesus. And they say, shut up. He's like, Jesus. The more they tried to shut him up, the louder he would scream. That's the way we need to be. And what happened? Did he get what he needed? You will too. You will too. Proverbs 4, verse 20. These are things you want to meditate on. My son, attend to my words. All right, God's saying, listen to me. Don't listen to that turbulent voice. God's voice is not turbulent. It's referred to as that still, small voice. Why? It's calming. So attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Stop thinking about what they say and start thinking about what he said. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? When something tries to penetrate your heart, they run right smack into God's word. But if you don't have his word in your heart, they're going to come in and find your heart empty. You know what it said about the spirits that left and came back and found the house empty? How many more came? Okay. So you wonder why things seem to get worse as you do nothing. Right? You don't ever want to be found empty. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. No matter what you're experiencing, this is commentary, real or imagined, you just keep saying what God has said. You just keep doing what God has instructed. Verse 22, for they are life to those that find them and health to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Insert commentary here. Guard and protect it above all else. There's nothing more valuable. For out of it are the issues of life. Out of it, everything that you need to get through this life can be found in your heart. Can't afford to have a murmur going on because that abnormal sound blocks the truth.
Amen.
Okay. Put away from thee. That means you have a choice. That means you have the last say. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Stop saying all that dumb stuff. And perverse lips, put far from thee. That means, folks, they can't be so strong that they can overpower you if God is telling you to put them out. If you couldn't do it, God wouldn't say it. When those thoughts come up about what that person that violated you, put those thoughts out of your head. Why? It's going to stop you from trusting people. And the first one that's going to stop you from trusting is God. Because if God loved you, he wouldn't have allowed that to happen in the first place. So how dare he now try and tell me to do something else? After letting this thing happen to me, we didn't realize that there's a series of events that caused this thing to happen that God was trying to stop from the beginning. But here's the thing, folks. God is omnipotent, and I've said this before, and I didn't make it up. The Bible tells us that. He knows it. He knows everything. So that has to mean that he knew what was going to happen to you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And at that same time, he put things in motion to prevent it, knowing it wasn't going to work. But he didn't strike dead all those people that had a part to play and missed it. What he did was he presented us and gave us a grace so that we could go through it. We need to understand that about our Father. Okay? It would be great, and I'm sure he would have much rather no one ever have to go through anything negative. But the truth of the matter is, people are going to make some choices. And he's telling you, you put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Matter of fact, for perverse lips, he says, put far from thee. Okay? Don't get caught up in murmuring and complaining. Instead, take action. What kind of action? Start rebuking. Start rebuking it. Start using the keys of the kingdom. Binding and loosing. Confessing who you are and what God said. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Put on blinders. Why? So you only see what God wants you to see. When you look at a drug dealer, you don't see a drug dealer. You see someone operating in the fivefold ministries. Amen. Because that's how God sees them. You see someone out there leading people to Christ. You see someone out there laying their hands on the sick and the sick recovering. You see someone out there helping convert the very people that he sold the drugs to in the first place. But if you look at them like a low-down, dirty, scummy scoundrel, that's all you're going to see, and you're going to leave him like that. You walk. Can you imagine believers saying, I hope he die and go to hell? Our whole purpose here is to prevent him from going to hell or her from going to hell. So we have to make our eyes look right on. We have to look past their mistakes. We have to look past their sin. Why? God looks past ours. Once we repent, he said, I'll remember your sins. So why are we remembering and throwing them up in people's face? Because something happened with us. I went through it, so why should they get a free pass? Who said they got a free pass? There's a consequence they had to take, that they had to endure. We should be praying that they endure the consequence. We should be praying that God is merciful. How can I say that? Because when Jesus was nailed on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you actually think that that 14-year-old went out and had three babies because they thought it was right? They thought their life would be fine, that they'd get their education, they'd get a great job, babysitters would come flocking from the woodwork, and the baby's father would just be there and just love them and love them and love them. No, they didn't know what they were doing. They were operating on emotions that were out of control. They didn't know how to get everything structured into a life shaped by Christ. They didn't know. They didn't know. We can't make them pay twice. We can't do that, okay? Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. What you want to do, make sure it lines up with what God told you to do. How often? Every step you take. Because every step you take is an opportunity to take a misstep. So you have to find out, this is the direction, God? Because this is the direction that I sense I should be going. Is this the direction? And you'll know. But wait for the answer. Don't get so excited. You say, this is the direction, right, God? Yeah, I knew it was a direction. And you start going, and you smack into a wall. Or that poem, I walk down the street, there's a big hole in the sidewalk, I fall in. Okay? I mean, but that's the way people operate. Verse 2, I walk down the same street. There's a big hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. It's not my fault. You think? Verse 3, I walk down the same street. See, this is our verse 3 would be, I walk down the same street. There's a big hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. But I get out right away. I knew it was there, so I took a ladder with me. Okay, that's what we do. See, I'm calling this ladder. Sometimes it's called birth control. We know we're about to make a mistake, so we take some precautions so we can get out of it easier. Doesn't always work. You get to the point, I walk down the street, there's a hole in the sidewalk, I walk around it. Okay, well, at least you're getting a little sense. But here's when you know you got it. I walk down another street. Okay? I mean, that's where God, he wants us to walk down another street, but in order to do that, we have to get rid of this murmur so we can hear clearly the street we're supposed to be on. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Don't veer off the path. And if you do, take your feet off of evil. This implies something. It implies that we recognize evil when we see it. And since we recognize it when we see it, why are we walking into it? Because we want to. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule. You know what that means? No matter what turbulence is going on, you demand that peace rules in your heart. You demand. Why? Because you have the authority. It's your heart. But understand this. And then we're going to minister to the people. There's no such thing as a harmless murmur. There's no such thing. Any sound that comes from you as a believer that does not line up with what God has specifically said concerning you is an abnormality, and you need to check it out and get rid of it. How do I do that? Listen to what you allow to come out of your mouth. You're a human, you may not have known this, but you're a human stethoscope. You're listening to the beat of your own spiritual heart. And you know whether or not it's abnormal. As Pastor Jesse comes, the J team come, whatever it's been that's been troubling your heart, you need to get down here and let God minister to you and let him heal it now. One of the things he promised us in the psalm, he said, he restoreth thy soul. He heals your thoughts. He repairs your broken heart. It does not matter what you have done. It really doesn't. All that matters is you've acknowledged it and you're willing to move on. You're willing to continue in the things that God has called you to do. You need to come on. Just come move this out of their way, please. And come on. Because there'll be no heart murmurs here. See, I could sum everything up by saying, you know how you cure heart murmurs? You get the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Because when you have that revelation, nothing else will matter. You won't care what comes. You know why? Because the Christ has already taken care of it. So you have no worries, you have no burdens, because he said, cast them all on him. I mean, Pastor Sarah gave a great analogy as to how Jesus will take the freight, you just carry the invoice. I have never seen an invoice that weighed as much as the freight. Okay? Never.